talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Go tell that long tongue. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. Going right to the front lines of history in the making, and there was a lot of it made over this weekend and very little of it good. Well, Kabul fell. Kabul fell yesterday. Largest city in Afghanistan. The final holdout. Earlier, the president of Afghanistan, Ashraf Ghani, chickened out. He jumped on a plane and he took off. He abandoned the city. The truth is that this had been foreseeable for a long time. The Taliban had started nibbling around the edges in the far rural areas, and then it came closer and closer to Kabul, and it took the number three city, the number two city, Kandahar, and then it took Kabul. And I want to unpack this. This is very important from a moral point of view, a humanitarian point of view, and from a political point of view. Immediately, the Republican Party took down a 2020 page that they had up on their website touting Trump's, quote, historic peace agreement with the Taliban, end quote. Here's what happened, here's what should have happened, and here's what we should do now. Afghanistan has always been a primitive country. It's a Sunni Muslim country. It's absolutely fundamentalist and primitive. Women are routinely killed. Girls couldn't go to school, so forth. In the 19th century, the British went in, tried to conquer it the way they conquered India. It was very mountainous, not a lot of cities, and people just hid in the mountains and behind boulders and came riding out and shot their soldiers, and they finally withdrew. It didn't work. In the late 70s, the Russians went into Afghanistan. And why'd they go in? Afghanistan borders on Tajikistan. Tajikistan was at one time the part of the Soviet Union. In the late 70s, it wasn't Russia and then individual other countries of the Soviet Union. It was a union of Soviet states, and Tajikistan was one of them. And of course, this is a very tribal area over there. Nobody recognizes boundaries. And so Russians were tired of the threat coming. In those days, they were called the Mujahideen. Remember that, the Mujahideen? And we supported the Mujahideen. We armed them so they could fight the Russians. It was in our interest to fight the Russians. In 1980, Jimmy Carter refused to let our athletes compete in the 1980 Olympics because of the Russian invasion of Afghanistan, to make a point. Well, what happened then is the Ruskies are driven out. You know, they would send caravans of soldiers through these mountain passes, and the Taliban would hide up in the top of the hill and push boulders on them and shoot them and so on. And people in Russia finally got the idea, because even though it was the Soviet Union, Russia was the center of it. Very, very tired of fighting a war like that that seemed to have no end. And so they were driven out. It reminds me in reverse of Russia itself, invaded by Napoleon in the 19th century. He couldn't conquer it. Invaded by Hitler in the 1940s, couldn't conquer it. And Afghanistan is very similar, except it was on the other end of the Russian invasion. Well, things go along in the 80s and 90s and so forth. But one of the things, you know, there is a naivete about Western civilization, about Europe, about the United States, which thinks that any doctrine, Islam and jihad, is assimilable in Western civilization. And it's simply not. The fact of the matter is, the cultural imperative of jihad is to forcibly convert or murder, exterminate the host population. It's very, very simple. And we're seeing it all over Europe. We saw it a little bit in the United States. And In Afghanistan, the question is, who can be more fundamentalist? Who can be more vicious? Who can be more vicious towards women? The Taliban in control of that country now. There won't be any girls' schools. And if there are, those girls will have acid thrown on them or shot. They'll be murdered. Every woman is going to have to wear a burqa, full covering. If anything shows, even her ankles, she'll be beaten and maybe killed. Women desperately wanted over there, desperately asked for and wanted U.S. occupation. For what? Forever? John McCain said, and John McCain is a Republican, was a Republican whom I had a great deal of regard for. He was a war hero, very brave man. But he once said, which I strongly disagree with, we all have to be in Afghanistan for 100 years. Well, no, we're not going to tie down our forces. They're frequently shot in the back by Afghan frag by Afghan soldiers who essentially secretly have Taliban sympathies. What, for 100 years? We've already done it for 20 years. So a consensus arose in both parties, let us get out of Afghanistan. We went into Afghanistan right after 9/11 because Osama bin Laden was hiding there. And one of the very, very sad facts of history is that Pakistan, which borders on Afghanistan, you have the stands, you have the Uzbekistan and Turkmenistan and Tajikistan, Pakistan, Afghanistan. Pakistan borders on Afghanistan, and it essentially supports the Taliban. Many members of the Taliban had families and homes in Pakistan and just roamed across the border at will, shot who they could, killed who they could, shot at Americans, went back to Pakistan. Wait a minute, we give Pakistan $2 billion a year. Why do we do it? We do it because they develop nuclear weapons, they have bombs, and we don't want to drop a bomb, a nuclear weapon ourselves on Pakistan. And so we say to them, it's very simple. You're going to have people that really control that. The CIA is going to keep track of it. Here's $2 billion. Go away. Go see a movie somewhere. Get out of here. And we let them do anything. Osama bin Laden, for a while, if you can recall, was hiding out in Pakistan. He had a house that the Pakistani government gave him. They knew who he was. And guess what it was close to, almost on the grounds of? The equivalent of Pakistan's West Point, their army officer training. They all knew down the road, there's the guy who orchestrated 9/11. They thought that was great. They're not our ally. They're afraid of us. They try to go to the Chinese. One time, the helicopter went down and they turned it over to the Chinese, one of our helicopters, so that they could disassemble it and steal the technology. You have to understand all these things about this is not a normal set of countries. It really is not. So what do we do now? When we went in and killed Osama bin Laden, we went in and killed Osama bin Laden under Barack Obama. It's a great accomplishment. We knocked him out. But we stayed in Afghanistan. And the mission, there was mission creep. And what happened was it was not just let's eliminate Afghanistan as a breeding ground for Al-Qaeda terrorists, but let's reform it into a modern democracy. And if not in a Western fashion, at least in a Jordanian fashion or a Middle Eastern or Egyptian fashion or something of that nature, where yes, it is a jihadist culture, but they have assimilated somewhat. And Jordan's a good ally of the United States. And the Egyptian government has been very reasonable in dealing with us. Maybe the Taliban could. Well, no, they can't. So what happened was Donald Trump, remember something, Donald Trump is the guy that betrayed the Kurds to the Turks. He was playing golf. Erdogan of Turkey called him on his cell phone and said, can I kill the Kurds? Will you get out of the way? He said, sure, go ahead. You know, he had a shot to make. He was walking up with a seven iron under the fairway. He sacrificed the Kurds. Well, with the Taliban, he goes, he needed a visual for his election. So here's what he does. He just out of the blue sets up, quote, negotiating talks, end quote, with the Taliban in Vienna and does not include the Afghan government. At that point, the Afghan government is demoralized. He sits there. You know, when you negotiate with jihad, you're negotiating with cancer. If you have cancer, you don't look in the mirror and say, cancer, if you agree not to spread into my liver, I won't radiate you. You don't say that. You radiate it because it is a disease. And that is what happened here. They laughed. They said, well, yeah, we won't do it. And they kept killing people. And all Trump did was a photo op. It was a photo op for his election. But in the meantime, it demoralized the entire Afghan government. And now Biden, I'll tell you something. I am disappointed with the way this was handled. This should have been a withdrawal that took a planned period of time, not just an announcement. We'll be out by May 1st or September 1. You don't tell Nazis that you're going to be out by September 1 and expect them not to do anything about it. Are you kidding me? Very disappointed with his foreign policy team. So there you have it. What do we do now? Well, we're going to go to a break now. We don't have a lot of time, but when we get back after the break, we're going to talk about what we do now. But the latest news, Kabul fell yesterday. Afghanistan is in the hands of the Taliban. Going to break. Lines are still open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.